Hey, Omrus Leeds, and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. Got a bit of an interesting one this week. My brother and business partner, Samuel Leeds, recently hit the streets of Cambridge in search of Cambridge University students. And he interviewed them and he asked them basic questions about property investing and about economics. So this week, I haven't watched the video yet. I'm going to be reacting to that video along with you. It'd be great to know your thoughts. I suppose the question is, are you as smart as a Cambridge University student? Do you know as much about investing and economics literally through watching YouTube and shows like this, listening to the Property Investors Podcast? Do you know as much as a Cambridge University student? Well, let's find out. I'm a multimillionaire and I never went to university. And right now I'm standing in Cambridge next to one of the most prestigious universities in the country with some of the most intelligent people in the world. So I'm going to be stopping the students in the street and asking them some basic questions around financial literacy and seeing just how knowledgeable they really are. Where are you sitting? Cambridge?
Yeah.
What are you studying?
Economics.
Business management.
Land economy.
Economics.
Okay, so I would expect the guy that was studying economics should have a good grasp of investing and economics, but let's find out.
How much is the average house in Britain right now?
In the whole of the UK?
Average house price, I'd expect them to know the average house price. I mean, I expect you would know the average house price. Let's see.
Oh my God.
I was going to say £1 million, that's too high.
Oh my God, £1 million. That is ridiculous. Okay, I said I expect them to know. I expected them to have some sort of ballpark. £1 million for the average house price. That is such a stupid answer. Honestly, if I asked my 10-year-old daughter, how much the average house price was, and she said £1 million, I would be shaking my head. I would be disappointed. I'd feel I failed her as a father. The fact that this guy is studying at Cambridge University and he is guessing £1 million for the average house price, to me, that is just mind-blowing.
Not a million, bro.
400,000.
Half a million? That sounds quite a lot. Should we go half a million?
300,000.
350,000.
Okay, so 300,000, 350,000, they're more within the realms of normal. I imagine right now, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's about 280. So, you know, 300 is a decent guess.
It's more like 250, 300.
Oh, I would say about half a million.
250, 300k.
It's actually £282,000. I don't know what land you're living in, bro.
I mean, I live in Rotherham, it's the cheapest part of UK, but I assumed everywhere else is more expensive.
How much was the average house price in Britain in 1995?
I'm thinking less.
Yeah.
I think it'll be like...
Under 100, right?
Yeah, like much cheaper, right?
Maybe 100?
70,000.
40, 50.
50, 60.
50k?
50,000.
60,000.
Okay, these seem like decent guesses. This is a little bit harder to gauge. Obviously, most of these people, I mean, myself, I was only 6 years old in 1995, so I wouldn't expect them to be able to remember. I mean, if we look at house prices doubling every 10 years, and this is actually true. If you go back all the way to 1930 to today, in 1930, house prices were £400. So if you doubled it every year, 1930, 1940, 50, 60, 70, 80, all the way to today, house prices have actually slightly more than doubled. Now, of course, they don't double every 10 years. It's not like a perfect pattern. It doesn't go 400 in 1930, 800 in 1940, 1,600. Sometimes it does less, sometimes it does more. But on average, so if we're looking at 1995, what house prices today are, what, £280,000? So if we half it to get to 2015, well, how long ago was that, actually? That was almost, what, 30 years ago, right? So you've got to half it from 280 to about 140. See, this is a good example, actually. It's not going to be double for this. It's going to be, I don't know, about 50 grand or something. Let's see. But you get the idea.
150,000.
10, 115 odd, maybe?
It was actually 55,000.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Okay, there you go. So it's 55,000. So if we double it three times, 55 would be 110, would be 220, would be more like 400 and something. Okay, so it hasn't totally doubled over this time. We've had crashes and all sorts, but on average, over 100 years, it has doubled. So I expect we're looking over the next sort of 10, 15 years or so, we might see some sharp rises in house prices increasing. But who knows? We'll see.
What are you studying, by the way?
Economics.
What's base rate right now?
Okay, so this guy's studying economics. What's base rate right now? He's got to know this. I would say if he doesn't get this within 0.5%, that is pretty embarrassing.
Is this something to do with interest?
Did he just say, is this something to do with interest?
What is it right now? What percentage?
I genuinely have no idea.
1.3%.
No, wait, that's way too low. And I should actually know the number.
Okay, so he says, I have absolutely no idea. The other guy starts to guess, 1.3. And he's like, no. That's a stupid guess. I have no idea. But I still have far more of an idea than you. It's pretty easy that we say that. Oh, I have no idea. And then someone says something and you're like, okay, I have no idea, but I have more of an idea than you. Sometimes I get into directions. I'm like looking for somewhere and I'm like, where? I think, excuse me. Do you know where McDonald's is? Oh yeah, it's that way. And I'm like, okay. I know it's not that way. I know it's somewhere over there. I know exactly where, but I know more than you. And you got that awkward moment there is, do you follow the way that they said or do you ignore them and go elsewhere? Who knows? Doesn't happen anymore. We all have Google Maps on our phone and I don't really eat at McDonald's anymore. But if I did, that would probably be what would happen.
Oh, it's higher than it was.
It's higher than it was. Insightful.
Let's go 4.5.
3.5.
5.25.
Bang!
Yeah.
My guy knows his stuff. It's 5.2.
Okay.
5.25.
He actually knew more than Samuel. Samuel was off by half and they had to remember that the other guy got it right at 5.25. Well done, that guy. I, to be honest, I didn't know exactly what it was. I knew it was about 5%. So, yeah, hands up. It is changing all the time.
What is good debt?
What is good debt?
Oh my God, I just had my sociology exam about this.
Oh my God, I just had my sociology exam on this. As if like, I don't know what it is. I've just done a whole exam studying this, but I still don't know what it is. Is that bad teaching or bad learning? I don't know. I'm
not really sure.
All right, right.
It's that you can use to borrow more money.
Good debt is like kind of home ownership, student loan, something that's like secured, maybe. There's like low risk involved doing that debt.
Okay, he kind of knows a little bit. So the difference between good debt and bad debt, good debt is where you're using leverage, you're leveraging debt. So if you're taking out a debt, let's say you take out a loan and you're paying 5% interest on the loan, but then you invest it into something that's giving you 20% interest, you are leveraging that money. Therefore, that is good debt because you've used that debt to pay you on a monthly basis. If you take out a buy-to-let mortgage and the property is making you money, that is good debt. Anything that's making you money, anything that's using leverage for debt is good debt. Anything that is not paying you money, so for example, if you got a car, if you use debt to buy a car or use debt to go shopping, that is bad debt, okay? Because that is not helping to pay you. So that's the difference between good debt and bad debt. And he's done a whole sociology assignment or an exam or whatever he said on this, and he still doesn't really know. But hopefully you did. You knew that. Good debt. Debt is actually a fantastic tool. It's one of the most underrated tools, actually. A lot of people are very, very scared of debt. They just hear debt and think, people like Dave Ramsey talk, someone said to Dave Ramsey, if I offered you £1 billion interest-free and you knew you could invest it in anything you wanted to and you had a guaranteed 10% return on it for 10 years, then you'd give me my £1 billion back. Would you take it? And Dave Ramsey, financial expert, said no, he would not take it. That to me is astonishing. Absolutely astonishing, because he's going to make an absolute fortune off that interest-free £1 billion over 10 years, guaranteed 10% returns. I mean, I could kind of understand it, if the returns weren't guaranteed, so it's possible that he could lose money and he was just very, very risk averse. I still think he'd be nuts because you want to leverage that money. But yeah, crazy. Anyway, enough about good debt and bad debt. Let's get on to how the banks make their money.
How do banks make money?
This is where our knowledge falls down.
This is where our knowledge falls down. Yes, so far, you've been so knowledgeable and full of investment and economic wisdom, but this, unfortunately, is where their knowledge falls down.
God knows.
That's different. I mean, loans, investment, depends what bank it is, right?
I would assume that, like, the loans they give, the interest, I've got no clue.
I like how he started to try and give an answer. He was trying to think it through, and he was thinking, I've got no clue. At least he was honest.
Investing? Like charging people on their loans interest?
The difference between the interest rate on saving versus loaning, is that right?
I mean, I guess it's just you get money put in, you reinvest that cash, you get more, and then if someone asks for a deposit, you give what you made on top of what they originally put in.
Sorry, what? No idea what you're talking about.
Interest rates for mortgages and stuff like that.
Like investing, right? And then
whose money did I use?
Our money, isn't it?
Yeah, our money.
Our money?
Yeah, maybe.
That's actually correct.
Yeah.
Ah, someone got there in the end. Yeah, so well done, bravo, those two. They kind of figured it out between them. Yeah, they just invest our money. We put all our money into the bank, and they then invest it in things like, shock horror, property. In fact, Lloyds are aiming to be one of the biggest landlords across the whole of the UK. They're buying residential property, but they're using our money. Crazy, they're using leverage. It's almost like all the stuff that they tell us not to do and all the stuff that they tell us is too risky, they're actually doing themselves. No, surely not.
What is inheritance tax?
What is inheritance tax, or what is the current percentage you have to pay in inheritance tax?
Like, you want a number for that?
Yep.
Okay, what's the number for it?
It's something like shockingly low, right?
I want to say it's quite high.
20%.
It's less than 10.
Is it 60?
50?
Yeah, I would have guessed about 20, 25.
Is that right?
It should be. It should be 5 or 6. It's actually 40%.
What?
That is quite high.
Yeah, that is.
The funny thing is that most rich people actually manage to avoid paying inheritance tax through things like trusts, for example. Although, if you don't have very much wealth to begin with, yeah, you don't really have to pay inheritance tax. I think it's the first £300,000 or so. You get that tax free anyway. So it's only on things after that. So it's kind of the middle class, the poor people who don't leave anything to their children. It doesn't really affect them, or people that leave very little. The rich people, that they get find ways around it, doesn't really affect them. So it's pretty much inheritance tax is a tax for the middle class.
Is it legal for the central banks to just print more money?
No.
Technically, it's called like quantitative easing. So it's not actually like printing money, but you buy bonds from the government, and then that essentially like frees up the bond price.
Nah, my man knows his stuff.
He gets it, man. He gets it. That was bang on. It actually is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Damn.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the video, but have you spent one day with me yet at the Property Investors Crash Course? If not, what are you waiting for? Link in bio, tickets are just £1. And if you can't make a physical crash course, we now have a virtual crash course too. I'll see you there.
Give me an example of what passive income is.
So this one, what is passive income? This is a question that I would hope they all know the answer to. And I certainly hope that you guys know the answer to what is a passive income.
Money that sort of generates itself without you having to do like active work.
Dividends from stocks.
Real estate rent.
Yeah.
Not as passive, but.
Yeah.
Actually, they totally do know what it is. I mean, real estate, he says, not as passive. The actual definition of passive income is income that is earned through little or no effort. I would describe most real estate activities, it does depend what you do, but most real estate activities can at least be with little or no effort. So I think it would qualify as passive income.
How do you work out the return on investment when buying a property?
No.
I don't know.
How do you calculate?
you compare it to like the base interest rate, I think.
You notice how it's interesting, you know, talking about body language and tonality, when you kind of go up really high at the end, it kind of means that you don't have a clue what you're talking about. And I think that when he said that, he really didn't know what he was talking about, unfortunately. However, this is something that you all should know, how to work out the return on investment. If you're an investor and you're looking to invest, you need to know what your return on investment is. Let's see if any of the others have any joy.
Do you use the prices of similar properties plus like?
Is it the prices of similar properties plus like? No.
I really don't know.
So it's how much you're gonna put in versus how much it's gonna give you.
You take into account how much the rent is per year, and you also take into account if you would sell that property, like, so you take into account like appreciation and the rent price.
It's the annual profit from the rent divided by the investment you put in.
Yeah, to be fair, one of the guys got it spot on. It's how much are you actually putting in, so how much cash are you putting into the deal, and then you look at how much cash you get out during your first year. Now, bear in mind, this is not total money, and if you're using leverage, so for example, if you borrowed that £1 billion that Dave Ramsey turned down, you'd have a very good return on investment. Well, it would be infinite, because you wouldn't have used any of your own money, and you'd be making returns on it, okay? So that would be a fantastic way of investing. So if you do use leverage, like with buy-to-let properties, how much cash do you actually need for the deposit? And then how much money, actual profit, do you make during the first year? And then you just divide the profit by the amount of cash you put in, giving you a percentage. So let's say, for example, you put in £20,000, and then in the first year, you made £5,000 in profit by the end of the first year. You do 5 divided by 20, which equals 25%. Your ROI would be 25%.
Excuse me, mate. Do you know what base rate is? Yeah, love, bro. He knew me, man.
Do you know what base rate is? No, I do not, but I know who you are, Mr. Samuel Leeds. I don't know why Samuel was so surprised that he knew him. Literally, whenever we go out anywhere, if we're going into London or even at Beaconsfield or anywhere, even abroad, although less so, it's more UK-based, but wherever we go, he's continually getting stopped. Oh, are you Samuel Leeds? And then occasionally they recognise me as well. They don't remember my name normally. It's like, oh, and you're the brother. Yeah, that's me, thanks.
So in the world of property investment, what does HMO stand for?
House mortgage.
House mortgage. Good guess, but no.
HMO.
HMO.
Housing multiple accommodations or something like that?
Housing, H, yes. Multiple, M, yes. Accommodation, accommodation, O, no.
I don't know.
I can't think of what the O would be.
No, I don't know that one.
House in multiple occupancy.
To be fair, I actually don't blame them for not knowing that. It's quite a niche term. If you're not actually into property investing, you're probably not going to know it. So no criticism of them there. Apart from guessing letters that don't fit, I'd at least expect a decent guess. House, mortgage. She didn't get the O either. They struggled with the O. The O was the issue here.
What about BRRR?
Building. No clue.
What about BRRR? Building! No, it wasn't building. Good guess though. Did begin with a B. Just say what you see.
Nah, I've never heard of this one.
It stands for buy, refurbish, refinance, rent.
So it's to increase its market value, I don't know.
Yes, it is to increase its market value. That is absolutely spot on. And again, I wouldn't really expect them to know buy, refurbish, refinance, rent.
How much is stamp duty tax for first-time buyers?
How much what tax?
Stamp duty tax.
Stamp duty,
No.
I have no idea. I don't know if it's 12.5 or 25%, or it could be neither, but that's my guess.
I don't know if it's 12.5, very specific, or 25%, also reasonably specific, or neither. Talk about covering your bases there. It's either 12.5, 25, or neither of those. Yes, technically you are right. It is one of the three options that you put forward, so well done.
Maybe like 10?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe a bit higher, maybe 15.
10%.
Isn't that tax-free?
Yes, it is!
I think it's the same guy that's getting them right every single time. He's sort of bailing out the whole of Cambridge University. The whole of Cambridge University would look bad if it wasn't for this one guy who seems to be getting every single one correct. I'm hoping that he's the one at the beginning. You have to tell me in the comments because I can't remember. But I'm hoping that he's the one that said he was studying economics because he seems to be getting everything right. So well done. Well done him. Well done that man.
It's actually zero.
First time buyer, second time it goes up to
3%, and then there's a sliding threshold.
I don't know why I went so high.
He was really hoping there, wasn't he? He was really hoping. He's like, first time buyers, that was my mistake. It's no other buyers, second time buyers, third time buyers, they're the ones that pay either 12.5, 25, or, you know, some neither of them. And then the look of disappointment on his face when he was like, oh, no, actually, no, I was just way off in every single possible way, actually, despite covering all the bases.
Do you think that financial literacy should be taught more in schools?
Now, bear in mind that they've just been asked a load of questions and pretty much got everything wrong. I would hope that these people would say yes to this. But we're interested to know your thoughts. Do you think that financial literacy should be taught more in schools? I mean, based on this, 100% yes. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? Let me know. Comment below.
Yeah, I would say so.
I feel like it's very important that a child knows the steps they can take to make sure they're financially secure in the future, no matter how much they're earning.
100%.
Yeah. Why do you think that?
You're not really aware of like where your money's going and like also like what's the best thing to do with it.
Definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, it's the most fundamental thing to being independent, right?
A large proportion of people don't really have like a good as of a grasp as they want to. Like they feel like, oh, I've been misinformed, or like I haven't learnt enough as I've been growing up. So they're not really like, they're kind of just thrown in the deep end when it comes to buying a house and stuff.
Definitely help if they knew a bit more about, you know, savings, investments. It can help people sort of narrow down, you know, the wealth gap. So at the moment, the rich are, obviously they know their finances, they're getting richer, but the poor people, not so much, I'd say.
There's so many steps you can take, like investing your savings and stuff, rather than just like, keeping it in a bank account, which wouldn't gain that much compared to like stocks and stuff.
You get sort of like released into the world after uni and you just don't know what to do.
Yeah. So what did you learn in this video? What did you learn? What are the lessons? The thing that I learned that's very interesting is the only person that seemed to know all the answers to the questions I was asking about basic financial literacy happened to be the only person out of everyone I interviewed who's a subscriber to the Samuel Leeds YouTube channel. So if you want to get more knowledge around finance, subscribe to the channel like no else. Do you think that financial literacy is something that needs to be addressed more in schools across the country? I think yes. What do you think and why?
That's very interesting. I thought he was probably the guy studying economics, but actually it's the guy that's self-studying Samuel Leeds, his channel, and probably other channels very, very similar to that. So I suppose the key lessons for me, having watched this, is number one, it just shows that the average person knows very, very little about investing, about finances, about economics. So hopefully that will give you confidence. Because a lot of people that I speak to, a lot of people that are getting started, kind of feel like, oh, I'm not educated. Oh, I don't really know what I'm talking about. But neither do the people that have been to Cambridge University. Like, listen to the answers that they're giving. They don't know what they're talking about. So the fact that you have just watched YouTube, or you listen to the podcast, or you've been, you know, maybe you're a student of one of myself or Samuel's who's been on the advanced training, but the fact that you've done that will put you head and shoulders above 99% of people out there. But at the same time, it's quite scary as to how little people actually know about these really important topics. And I mean, it makes me think, especially for any parents that are watching this, we need to be educating our children about money, about good debt, about bad debt, about investing, different types of investment, whether that be property, whether it be stocks, shares. They need to have a really good grasp of how to do that. And I think that that will be the biggest defining factor in whether or not they're successful. If they're serious about investing, even if they haven't got the best education, even if they don't get to go to Cambridge University, even if they don't get the best jobs, if they know about investing, that is where it's at. And if they know about managing their money, there's a great story I heard about a guy based in America. I can't think of his name. His name escapes right now, but he was literally a janitor That was his job as a janitor. But unbeknownst to everyone else, he very, very diligently saved up the little that he had, and he invested it. And when the money came in from that, his passive income, he didn't spend it, he invested it again. So he kept his job as a janitor, and he was investing all these years. And nobody knew that he was successful. Nobody knew that he actually became, and when he died, he was a multi-millionaire. Now, while that is inspiring, it just shows you exactly what you can achieve, I can't help but think the purpose of earning money is to enjoy it. So I think it's getting that balance between being a spender and a saver. You want to be earning good money that you can spend and go and enjoy, but you need to be saving it as well. Tristan Tate, I heard a quote from him, and he said, you want 50% of your money, you want to act like you're going to live for another 50 years. And the other 50% of your money, you want to act like you're only going to live for 50 days. So it's very, very interesting. How do we get that balance between spending and saving? But most importantly, make sure that you're educated. Make sure that you understand about economics. Make sure that your friends, family, children, make sure you educate them as well. Thanks ever so much for watching. I'm Russell Leeds. I feel like I've been a bit sarcastic today, so I do apologize to any of the students or anyone that's offended by that. I'm just in one of those sarcastic moods today, but I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'll see you next week.
I think, you know what I think? I think people that study at Cambridge are full of